pitchers in the SEC. Looking to pass it. He's thrown four touchdowns. Up for grabs. And there's number five. Johnson with a...
Got to drive it, Brad. You got to drive it. Matt, for maybe the win.
Everybody, welcome in. This is Arkansas Takes podcast. I guess not a podcast, more of a reaction show today. We're here to react to Arkansas's big win over Kansas in the round of 64, and then kind of preview the round of 32 matchup versus St. John's. So, Cadence, what were your initial thoughts on the game and how we looked out there?
I thought they looked really good all game. The way they started the game off, high energy. Kansas was playing. It was just a real good game overall on both sides. I haven't really watched much Kansas this year. I know everybody had been kind of down on them, but I thought they played a pretty good game, and so did we. I mean, EJ out of the gate was just high energy, getting to the rack. Adu was amazing again.
That guy.
Brazil and Avistis gotten. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. Go right for it.
I mean, Brazil and Vucic, early foul trouble again. Seems it's been like a theme with them the last few games, but Adu's been holding it down low. It's worked out great.
Yeah, I mean, Vucic's only 4 minutes. You could say it's because fouls, but he really never got back into the game. So,
I don't know if that wrist injury or thumb injury, whatever it is, if it's bothering him or if Coach Cal just didn't have any faith of him, and it's one of the two.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're going to have to get him going at some point. I mean, the further you make it in this thing, the more guys you're going to need, you know. So, but yeah, like you said, I mean, Jonas, again, 22 points. Insane, man.
The first 10 minutes he had 16 points.
He's playing.
He was like 6 for 8.
He's playing his best basketball he's ever played. And there's no question about that. I think last year he averaged like 11 points. He had a couple games where he had 20, but, I mean, his role on this team is way more than it was ever at Tennessee.
It's just funny how fast the script has slipped on him. He's like beginning of the year. Who is this Adu guy? Like he's not doing nothing. Who is this guy? Now they're already talking about him. Maybe I've heard people and seen people already talking about him being a first round pick, maybe just from playing this good in the past month.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy how quickly he's changed his whole dynamic around himself.
Yep. And, Jonell Davis, I mean, well, over 50% from the three-point line. You'd honestly like to see him shoot some more if he's shooting like that. I mean, we really didn't shoot. We shot 25% from the three-point line. Had a bunch of guys missing him, but Davis was, you know, he hit them when they mattered. So, let's go over. Trevin Brazil, 11 points, 12 rebounds. He single-handedly kept us in the game on the offensive boards.
Yeah, when Kansas went to that zone, we couldn't get anything going. He had three back-to-back offensive rebounds that were all for off second chance points. I mean, that saved us right there.
Yeah,
if it wasn't for him, we were not doing nothing.
On that run where we didn't score for a while, Brazil had like two offensive rebounds and putbacks just to kind of keep us. I mean, we really weren't getting in the flow offensively, but at least, you know, kept us scoring at, you know. So, DJ Wagner, 1 for 4 from the three. We talked about this against Ole Miss. He didn't shoot as many this game. I think he shot like 9 against Ole Miss. He shot a lot of threes. But in this game, he really didn't shoot that much. He made one of them. 5 for 12 from the floor. What you really like to see is 85% from the free throw line as a team.
Yeah.
At the end of the game, they hit, I think it was 3 1-and-1s, and you hit the front and the back end of those 1-and-1s. Those were, like, to be able to do that, and it wasn't even just, like, guys like Boogie. It was Jonas and Trevin Brazil making those 1-and-1s. And those, I mean, that wins you the game. Those 6 points right there win you. Keep you, you know, I mean, you win by 7, but toward the end of the game, they foul us and whatnot, but those 1-and-1s were crucial.
Yep. I think about Wagner too is with he's 1-for-4 from the 3-point line. With Boogie back and the way Boogie played and fit in, I don't think Wagner's going to have to shoot it. Earlier in the season, when it was down to 7-man rotation, we were relying on DJ to shoot. He had to shoot some threes, but I think now with Boogie back, he's not going to have to shoot as much as he has been, which I still want him to keep shooting. You got to keep him honest, but he's 5-for-12 for those 3-pointers. So he's getting to the rim 8 times, and that's not counting the ones he's fouled on and going to the free throw line. That's what we need him to do. I want him to take 10 layups a game, attempt 10.
Yep. And then kind of the, not sideshow, but one of the big talking points was Boogie Flan coming back in the rotation. 24 points, 6 points, 3 assists, 3 steals, no turnovers, 1 foul. He played good. I mean, for being out as long as he was, I think Boogie did enough.
Almost.
Go ahead.
Almost had the poster dunk of the tournament.
Man. No, I think you could tell whenever he first got out there, he was kind of deferring a lot. He was kind of just getting a feel for everything. But you do like to see that, you know, you give it to him at the top of the key and him to try to go make a play too. But he's just going to have to get comfortable with that. He didn't shoot that well, 0-for-4 from the 3-point line. So you like to see him make, you know, a couple of those. But yeah, I thought he played good.
I think he'll get back into it. I mean, like you said, start of the game, he was kind of seeing where he fit in, how he's going to gel. But towards the end of that game, he was attacking. He had a tough layup that he had. So I think he's going to slowly get into the swing of things. Yeah. It might be quicker than we think in this next game.
I forgot, because of course we played them in the preseason, but I forgot how, dude, and I know he got hurt at the end of the game, but KJ Adams, he just floats. He's like, he just floats. Like some of those alley-oops, it just looked like he was just like never coming down whenever he went up for him. He had 13 points. He played okay. I think he may have gotten in foul trouble toward the end. I know Dickinson did, in the second half. Adu kind of shut up a lot of people about Dickinson versus, you know, whoever, you know, that he didn't even score in the second half. So
I was listening to the radio show this morning. At the 10-minute mark of the first half, he didn't score another point. So basically a whole half and the half of the first half, he didn't do anything.
Yep. And I think he only had
all credit to Adu.
He only had 3 rebounds the rest of the game. Because I know going into like the second media timeout, he was like 11.6 rebounds. He finishes with 11 points and 9 rebounds in the game. So kind of just shut him down. Zeke Mayo was really good. He's 4-for-5 from 3. It was like every time we kind of got out to a lead, they'd hit a 3. And then we'd turn over the ball. And then they'd, you know, throw an alley-oop to KJ Adams, you know, so it was back and forth. I was happy, like I was texting you. The first half was like both teams showed up to play offensively.
That was a great first half.
Offensively. I mean, you obviously don't want to give up 44 points a half or 47 points a half, but both teams showed up to play. It was a high octane game. I mean, it was fun to watch. And I know people around the country probably had a good time watching it.
I just want to say something because you talked about it. KJ Adams from Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's really good and his injury at the end of the game. So hope he's doing well. I'm not sure what the extent of the injury was, but he's a good player. He's a tough matchup because he's 6'7" and he moves around the court so well. He's also, like you said, athletic and he jumps so high. Like he's a tough matchup for a big guy that he can compete with him vertically. And he's also just quicker than all of them.
Yeah, I think they said something about it may be in an Achilles, and I don't know that for a fact. Yep, but
that's what it looked like.
Yeah, I don't know that for a fact because Kansas, you know, they're not probably going to say exactly what it is, but we'll find out eventually, I'm sure. But that's what they were afraid it was. So, all right. So now, move on. We got Rick Pitino, John Calipari. Round 2, Providence, kind of both in their area of the country. What do you think, man? Just initial thoughts. Whenever you saw the bracket and you saw this team, was if you were to able...
I knew it was set up for this to happen. They wanted this.
Yeah. You know, because somebody asked Cal, you know, where did he think they were going to put them in the tournament? And he was like, well, I don't know. Where do you think? And they said Lexington, you know, which I'm surprised. Like, this game in Lexington would be even bigger than what it's going to be. Now, it's still going to be a big game. There's going to be no telling how many people watching it, but I'm just glad it's not down there because they would be.
They put this game in the standalone time slot. This is the only game tomorrow that's by itself. Like, the only game you can watch is this one tomorrow.
In the middle of the day, too.
Yep.
Oh, man.
It's going to be a big game. Man. I hope the game delivers what it should be.
I guess I could pull this up. you have to. I mean, yeah, as you can see on screen, I mean, they average more points. We shoot the ball better, and we shoot it from three better. I mean, it's kind of basic stats, but I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't know the super analytics of it, but I know that we probably played a harder schedule. I know they have losses to Baylor. They lost to this Kansas team we just played, I'm pretty sure.
Well, of course, I know you say we shoot the ball better than them, but you were telling me yesterday they hit 14 threes, which was their season high, but, I mean, they have the ability to shoot it if they get hot.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have the ability to freaking knock the cover off of it if we really get hot. I mean, Big Z hit a couple. That's my prediction is we're going to hit like 8 threes and, you know, win by, you know, however much. But I think they're going to shoot the ball well. I just have a weird feeling that we're going to shoot the ball well tomorrow. Second game in the gym and might get a Duthiero back. That was the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
I hope he slots in well just because the way he plays. If he's having the knee trouble, I hope he can play as aggressive as he does because that's what makes him so good.
I think the weird thing about that is everybody was, you know, Coach Cal was like, nope, he's not playing this weekend. And then all of a sudden, this morning, I'm sitting there, you know, laying down in bed, and it's like breaking news, you know, Rothstein says Duthiero might play. I'm like, what? Where did this come from?
I saw a quote from Coach Cal that, like, I think maybe Coach Cal isn't ready for it, but Thero's trying to talk him into it. So I think it's more of Thero wants to play than – I'm not saying he's not ready, but I think Thero just wants to get out there is what it seems like.
Yeah.
Calipari said he said Thero's trying to talk him into it, basically, which is what you want to see from your leading scorer. He wants to be on the floor.
Yeah, and, you know, I had a whole spiel I was going to do on this show about – you know, if you could somehow get past St. John's, because everybody talked about not this weekend, next weekend. So I had this whole spiel about, well, if you get past St. John's, you get another week rest, you may get your best player back. And now he might play tomorrow. So, you know, I had this whole thing that I was going to talk about, and it don't really matter if he plays tomorrow. But
maybe if your prediction's right that we shoot the lights out, we don't have to use him that much. He can get some rest.
Yeah, I know. Of course, we can talk about the spread here. I know it opened at like 6.5, and now it's up to 7.5 for St. John's in favor of St. John's. I don't know what they're seeing. I really don't. I mean, yeah, they won by 30 points, but they did not play a team that was very good. They beat them by 30, yes, but I mean, they could come out here and beat us by 20 points tomorrow, and Arkansas could go on 10-minute drought where they don't score. You know, so it could happen. It
seems to happen every game. So hopefully this could be the game where we don't have that drought. We can put it all together.
Yeah, and I was hoping when Boogie came back, maybe he could be that fill-in guy that comes in kind of whenever you're having a drought and gets you a bucket and, you know, kind of play around him. But it was Brazil who did that. You know, he was the one that kind of filled it up. So,
but, you know, usually when those scoring droughts, it's just like – usually when we go through these scoring droughts, it's just we're not playing the right way. We're not getting to the rim. We're not dishing it and kicking it, getting in, kicking it out. This game, though, Kansas switched to that zone, and that threw us all out of sorts. And they had a few open looks, and they just weren't knocking it down. So I don't think it was really more of us not playing it right. We just weren't hitting our shots in that scoring drought, or I don't think that drought would have happened.
Yeah, it just seems like
that kind of worries me going into this game if Patino's going to pull out of zone for a full 40 minutes and just see what it does to us.
Yeah, I think the problem is whenever we go on those droughts, it's not just that we're not scoring the ball. It's that we're fouling. We're getting dumb turnovers. Yeah, dumb turnovers, bad defense. Like, it's all the above that could go wrong. It's not that we're that we've missed seven shots in a row and we haven't scored in 4 minutes. It's that they have, you know, eight transition, you know, breakaway dunks and a couple threes, and our 10-point lead's now a 3-point deficit. I think that's the problem. And I don't know. It's just this team. I mean, they are what they are right now. Yes, they won some games, and I have faith that they're going to win tomorrow. But it comes with the
mistakes against a team that's good.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, I agree.
Like you said, I'm also pretty confident because, I mean, that three-run stretch at the end of the SEC play where we lose to Auburn, Alabama, close games, we never really had a stretch like that in the game. So I really think that they can put it together this game and pull it out.
Oh, they're definitely going to play up to the competition, for sure. They're going to show up ready to play tomorrow. I can guarantee that.
It's also a theme of this team playing up or down to the competition.
Yeah, yeah. Or, like, way below the competition. Like, the competition's the floor, and they dug a 6-foot hole and, you know, laid down there. What else was I going to say? Dadgummit. It was about, okay. So, at the end of the Kansas game, there's like 3 minutes left. Of course, I'm driving, so I can't, you know, I'm not watching the game or anything. There's like 3 minutes left. Kansas has been up by three for, I don't know, a couple minutes. Neither team scored, no fouls, nothing. And I just knew that I was like, we're not going to win this game. We cannot score. We're down three. Kansas has the ball again. Like, they've already missed like three times. So eventually, Kansas is going to score. They're a good basketball team. They don't go on these long droughts like we do, where they don't score. And sure enough, get a steal, score a basket, you know, get a stop, and the rest is history. But I just, that moment right there, I just remember thinking, man, I don't want this season to end. It cannot end like this.
Yeah. I think, and that, now that you're bringing that up too, because in that crunch time, those last 3 minutes, it was Nelly. He had the steals, two steals, I believe, and he hit the clutch three. And I think that's something I was thinking about during that game. When he made that final steal, I was thinking, I was like, man, as much crap as the fan base has given Nelly Davis all season for his shooting struggles, he's been like a top three defender on the team. He's averaging a crazy amount of steals. He's giving effort every week. And I just think that our guard play of him and Wagner, just defensive, just not even take the offense out of it. The defensive, they make life hard for every team we play.
Yep.
And then I realized too, with Boogie back, he hasn't played in like 2 months and he's picking up Kansas full court. I forgot how good it, like, he plays defense too. I forget how he's three really good defensive guards.
And you think what this team, now obviously we don't know about Aduthi Earl, but you think about DJ, Jonell Davis, Boogie Flan. Well, I guess Boogie wouldn't be playing in that lineup. But okay, Aduthi Earl, Jonas Adu, who is a very good defender in the post, I mean, and Trevin Brazil. I mean, these guys can stop any team, regardless of what they can do. So, man, I'm just excited, dude. I hope they come out and, you know, I know they're going to be ready to play, but, you know, you can't fall down to a team like this because they'll just pounce away, man.
They won't stop.
Yeah, and their defense is way too good to get – super far behind, because then you're going to have to stop them. You're going to have to stop them, and it's going to be hard too. They're big. They're not really tall. They're just a little bit wider.
Big and athletic.
Yeah, a little bit wider.
I was looking at their roster. They don't have – they have one guy, a 7-footer. He averages 7 minutes a game.
Yeah.
The rest of them, they don't have a guy over 6'9 that plays. They have 2 6'7 guys that are kind of like – looks like they're stars.
Yeah.
But –
oh, we're gonna have length on them.
Oh yeah, and I just think the way we played, I mean, the fact that we have Billy, who's one of our best defenders, he can guard. He's 6'6", 6'5". He can guard the 6'7" down to the point guard.
So. Billy's long. His arms are. He's got length like what's his name? Who's that really good Arkansas defender? There a couple years ago, he was a transfer. I'm trying to think, and he could dunk.
Money.
Who? Tony. Adis Tony. Yeah, yeah. He's got arms like Adis Tony.
Yeah. And I just think, I mean, we're going to, like you said, we're going to have the length to make it hard on him. We just can't foul, and we got to keep up the pressure, like, which they usually do. So, we're a good defensive team.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm, like I said, I'm excited. I hope they come out and just going to have to be ready to go. I know they know that, but, you know, this is a game that's can catapult. Just, I know the first round game set me, I was okay with it, you know. I mean, like, in the sense of, for the season, if they lose tomorrow, I mean, it sucks the way it happened, but, you know, they did go in and get a win and in the NCAA tournament and through everything. But if they win tomorrow, I mean, and Texas Tech did not look good the other night. And that's who would be next.
I watched that game.
That's who would be next.
I'm pretty sure we beat that team early season, I'm pretty sure. Did we not? UNC Wilmington?
The
team they struggled with?
Maybe
I'm thinking, maybe we played them when Musk was here.
I thought maybe I seen it. No, we didn't.
Okay.
And another thing about today, Lipscomb played Iowa State today. Lipscomb is the worst team in the tournament. Their defense, dude, I'm not even kidding. Their defense was god awful. And Iowa State's defense was bad, but Lipscomb couldn't throw it in the ocean. It was I was sitting there in physical therapy and I'm watching this game and the guy who's working on me, he's like, "Man, Iowa State's playing pretty good." I'm like, "No. Iowa State is their defense is horrible." He's like, "Yeah, they're up 20 points." I'm like, "I'm telling you right now, Lipscomb, I mean, man, I'm moving on.
Not a good showing.
Dude, it was so bad, man. It was so bad. Maybe let's look around here. Illinois up 5 against Xavier. Bryant is down 2 to Michigan State, 5 minutes in the game. Duke.
Oklahoma game right now. They're down 6 to UConn. It's been a pretty sloppy game, if I'm being honest. Yeah. But Jeremiah Fears for Oklahoma is very good.
Well, Oklahoma's got 26 points in the first half. I'm sure it's been pretty sloppy.
It's been very.
Duke looks. I mean, it's right now. It's Duke and Florida's tournament to lose. Both those teams
did
are
you
just.
Watch,
good.
Did you watch the Duke game?
I watched the very beginning of it, and Duke was up like 20 points 5 minutes in, and I. Head of the stuff.
Did Cooper Flagg play or no?
Yeah, he did. Cooper Flagg played.
Okay.
I don't know how many minutes he got this year. That is, I was surprised he played, bro. Like, they should have just rested him. Cooper Flagg, 22 minutes, 14 points.
Okay. Dang. That's a pretty good ratio.
Yeah, and he had like 11 rebounds too, or 7. I saw it.
Future Chicago Bull, I hope.
See, nothing else really. I mean, Colorado State beat Memphis, but they were favored on the betting lines. I think Memphis had out one of their really good players.
Really?
Yeah.
That game was close, though, from what I saw.
And thank God, Ole Miss defended the SEC today and took down the last team in the tournament who took down Texas. I was so glad to see that they won that game, dude. Because it would have been everything. Oh, the SEC got all these teams in, and of course, they haven't been winning a lot of games, but it was good to see
you. You know, I was kind of thinking about that today. Because when I was picking my brackets, I was like, man, I can't see a world where the SEC just does not do well in this tournament. I couldn't think back to the last few tournaments. The SEC never does good. Auburn loses to Yale last year. Like, I don't know why. Every year, the best SEC teams, they never do that good. I don't know why I didn't think of that. But
yeah, I mean, And again, that doesn't mean that these teams are not as good as the SEC in the sense of, like, if the higher ranked teams, like today, Robert Morris lost by 9 to Alabama. They kept that game close. I think they were down by like 3 with maybe 2 or 3 minutes left. And then Alabama kind of pulled away at the end. But it's a one game. It's
like
a one
SEC
game.
Football, you beat yourself up all season. Maybe you get to this and it's like not much left in the tank.
Yeah, but it's a one game tournament every day. And these kids are going to prepare. They're on scholarship too. And you still got to show up and play. And if you're not hitting your shots, if your best player, you know, only has 7 points, you're going to be in a dogfight till the end because these kids want it too. And they're going to, they want him. Go ahead.
I guess I'll pull out the classic Hugh Freeze quote. We win that game 9 out of 10 times.
And 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10 times.
We didn't.
Yep. Couldn't get it done. Baylor, prime example. Baylor beats Mississippi State. Baylor's got a better team than Mississippi State. State's good, but Baylor's a better team.
They just got more talent. That Edgecombe kid is really good.
Vandy loses by 3 to St. Mary's. I'm glad that wasn't our game.
And I really thought Vandy was going to do something in the tournament. But like you said, St. Mary's is a very hard matchup. They're always a quality team.
Yeah. All right, let's look at tomorrow real quick. 11 a.m., you got McNeese, the Fighting Will Wades versus Matt Painter's Purdue team. Dude, McNeese looked good. McNeese looked good the other day, man. They looked really good. I woke up from my nap and I looked up and they were up by like 20. I was like, holy crap.
They still almost threw it away too.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I got home from work. I turned that game on. They're down up like 3. I was like, what happened?
Then you got Michigan, Texas A&M. It's gonna be a good game, I think. Who you got in that one?
A good game.
Who do you think's gonna win that one?
I'm gonna take Michigan. I can't pick the Aggies.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
They'll somehow flop their way to 30 free throws and win though, I'm sure.
Yeah. Drake, Texas Tech. This is going to be an interesting game. How much Texas Tech struggled, and Drake beat Missouri like a drum the other day.
Yeah. In fact, Missouri hasn't won an NCAA tournament game since 2008, if you were curious.
I think we got the winner of that one, if we win.
We do.
Yeah. Which I do. I'd rather Texas Tech win. I do not want Cal to lose to a mid-major.
I really wish that somehow we would have got Missouri in the Sweet 16 just so we could beat them. That would have felt good.
Yeah, beat them again.
But I'm glad they lost.
That
Drake team's good, though. I watched that whole game. That they got some good players.
Is another one to watch. Creighton, Auburn. Creighton beats Louisville.
Beat them so bad.
It's just one of these games where, you know, you get the second round, and Auburn's prone to losing these games to lesser opponents, in my opinion.
They are.
So
I think that Jani Broom guy, I don't like Auburn, but he's so good. I think he's going to kill that guy on Creighton down in the post. I just think he can't keep up with him. Jani Broom can play outside and dribble and everything. That guy's just too, he's like 7'3" or whatever. He's too big. I think Broom will kill him. But we'll see. Yeah. Auburn lost to Yale before, so.
You got BYU, Wisconsin.
They can BYU all day.
BYU. Gonzaga, Houston. Might be interesting.
Gonzaga in some of my brackets, but I don't know. Houston looked really good.
I got Houston winning it all. I picked them to win it all. I picked them to win it all like the last 4 years, and it never happened. It feels like they've been a one seed the last 4 years. Couldn't get it done.
They always choke somehow.
Yeah.
But usually they make it to at least the Elite Eight or Final Four before they lose. So.
Yeah.
I think they got a pretty good chance, and I think I'll just go for Gonzaga because I like Caleb Battle, though.
Yeah, and then final game of the night, UCLA, Tennessee, 8:40, TBS. Who you got?
Pick this game either, but probably Tennessee.
What'd you say?
But I don't want to pick this game either, but it's probably going to be Tennessee.
You think?
I think so.
Well, hopefully old Barney can get a couple wins this year. He can never do it. He can never do it. Well, they got to the Elite Eight last year, so I'll give them that.
Yeah.
I didn't really watch the tournament last year because Arkansas wasn't in it, and I was too pissed to care.
Yeah, I was the same way. I was the same way.
And once they got past the Sweet 16, I was like, wow, they may do it. And then, you know, they lose.
All I know is they don't have Big Jonas Adu anymore, so that might them some problems.
We got a better Jonas Adu. But yeah, so previewed the St. John's matchup, kind of reacted to the Kansas matchup. maybe peeked around the curtain to Texas Tech and Drake. But, I mean, they got a big one tomorrow. You're going to have to show up and play 140 on CBS. Tune in, watch them, cheer for them. I know I will be. So,
hope they do it. St. John's.
Yep. All right, guys.
I really want to beat them.
Well, I appreciate everyone tuning in. Everybody that watches it later, like it, share it. We're going to post it on YouTube, so be sure to like and subscribe on there, too. And, yeah, we appreciate y'all. And we'll hopefully be live tomorrow after an Arkansas win. So, see ya.